Only I has to teach me only while you are working at me these things, cause Satan is busy, God is me, all my steps in your way. Charge of my truth, both gay and white. Please hold the nice steps in your
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, sister. If the Lord can order our steps in His word. Let's see why we ask for James to come testify.
Because He loves.
It's Brother James to give testimony. Oh, I can't see. Need my glasses. I need my glasses, Brother Thomas. Oh, it's T-O-M. Where is it? Okay, so we'll ask Sister Susan. Amen. It's a pleasant surprise. Now she comes. We're all excited.
Because He knows I can face You all. Because He knows all His because I know He is my treasure, and that His word will be just as Jesus
said. Yes, you think.
Situations when I'm troubled and challenged from every side, I normally don't see the light, no breakthrough. so hopeless and defeated, thinking God has forsaken me. I may think I will never survive, but I'll never lose faith in the Lord. I will not die, I will not die, I will live. I will not die, I'll proclaim His name. I will not die, I will not die, I will live and proclaim His wonders in my life, and proclaim His glorious name. Though Satan may have tried to crush me down, you lay temptation and affliction in my life. You may have shaken me from every angle, but these are just trials that must have come to pass. They are meant to make me stronger in my faith, and I will live to testify. I will not die, I will not die, I will live. I will not die, I'll proclaim His name. I will not die, I will not die, I will live and proclaim His wonders in my life, and proclaim His glorious name. I may wonder why the test, when I'm trying my very best. Well, those who trust the most, keep them as the devil to try them, 'cause he knows that they will always be faithful. So when I see myself being tried, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love me. It shows that He has confidence in me, and He will bring me to greater heights. I will not die, I will not die, I will not die, I will live. I will not die, I'll proclaim His name. I will not die, I will not die, I will live and proclaim His wonders in my life, and proclaim His glorious name. And proclaim His wonders in my life, and proclaim His glorious name.
Let's sing that song. We're in the upper chamber. Amen. We're not in the upper chamber, but spiritually we're in the upper chamber. Amen. Hallelujah. Just like it's evening time, day it's day. Hallelujah. We were in a Send your power, Lord.
name. Oh, how many are joyful to be in the house of God?
Amen.
Oh, we thank the Lord that He has opened such a wonderful day.
Amen.
The breeze of life.
Amen.
The sunshine.
Amen.
The grace is given to us. Oh, praise God.
Amen.
Shall we be seated for a moment? This morning we have one of our precious brothers from Munich, Germany, and the family, Thomas Adams, and he would like to give a testimony to the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
And with testimonies, they are the work of God.
Amen.
That He has performed in the life of someone, and always it lifts up what the spirit and the soul of His children. Amen. So we call our precious brother Adam Jacob. Feel free, you meet your saints in the Lord.
Amen.
Okay. It's a strange feeling getting through me. I don't feel like a guest. I'm feeling like home. I don't want to yell at you, but I'm just trying to adjust this one. So God bless you in the name of our Lord. We have many greetings from my church. We have a small church in Munich, in Germany. So I couldn't drag them all in, so I just, it's a cheaper way to bring the greetings. I just feel greeted. You have brothers and sisters doing the same thing, struggling the same struggles and fighting the same battles. And they don't know you, but they know the Lord. So sometimes things happen, you don't know why, and you don't know what to do. Just remind, there are persons, brothers and sisters, who pray for you.
Amen.
I always say the same thing wherever I go. It's important to know you are not alone.
Amen.
There is someone who was sent before you.
Amen.
And maybe you will support someone with your prayers.
Amen.
So I think you know what I'm talking of. Just some kind of feeling strikes you, and you say, I have to kneel down. And maybe someone is having a fight, and you don't know where and why, but you just know, I need to pray.
Amen.
This is why we call brothers.
Amen.
And this is why we call sisters.
Amen.
This is why we have one Father.
Amen.
Even if we start praying, when we start praying the Lord's Prayer, it's our Father in heaven.
Amen.
So it includes us.
Amen.
I have brothers, and I have sisters, and we have one Father.
Amen.
May God bless you. I had a beautiful welcome. You have a beautiful country here. It's very interesting to see things. And I think when God finished creating Germany, He immediately came to Ireland. I maybe might like it, so you have to be careful. I love my Lord.
Amen.
And I love you, and I love all those who love His name.
Amen.
And who love His Bible. It's just a book, it's just a few letters, it's just a page, but it's a person hidden inside.
Amen.
And if you know who I'm talking about, and if you know if this person met you, and you met that person, it makes a communion.
Amen.
And this makes and keeps us Christians alive.
Amen.
So we have many readings from my church, and I wanted just to say a few words of encouragement. Because we are strangers in this world.
Amen.
We are travelers, and we don't want to feel too much comfortable here, so sometimes we even have distress, or we sometimes have some troubles.
Amen.
To be reminded that this is not our kingdom. It's a
Amen.
Beautiful country. Beautiful persons. We have good neighbors, maybe employees, we have friends. I'm, unfortunately for all the children, I'm speaking as a teacher, so don't be afraid of me. But I have good students and good colleagues. But regardless of what we do, this is not our home.
Amen.
And sometimes things happen to be reminded that we are getting home.
Amen.
We want to go home. We don't want to stay here.
Amen.
We have a Lord who died for us, and He had a plan, and we want to be a part of that plan.
Amen.
So I just want to give you a small testimony. What really encouraged us, the Lord has been dealing with us many times, and it helped me to understand. I stopped asking why, Lord, why me? I just said, Lord, if you would know what He prepared for you, you would volunteer, Lord, take me. Lord, take me now. You did it on the cross for me, I'm doing it here for you, daily.
Amen.
So it's a story about a brother that's not here anymore, and I like this brother very, very much. He has happened to be my father-in-law. So he just, you know, the Lord took him home. And it's, his name is George. It's just a name. You never meet him here. If you want to meet him and hear the rest of this story, you have to climb those ladders. But I'm just giving you a foretaste of what the Lord can give us, how broad he is. He was, I wouldn't say not a believer. Sometimes we classify persons, good ones, the bad ones. The ours and the others, football, soccer players, we are out of that range. But he was not an unbeliever, but he didn't understand the Lord as we do. He didn't see the Lord as we do now. And we were sitting at home, and he had some headache a few weeks ago. He had headaches, and these headaches unfortunately improved, and so he went to see his physician. And they said a very famous sentence that I heard in my set, in my family, very, very often. He said, "George, unfortunately, we can't help you. It's cancer." And we were sitting at home in our sofa, and we were just talking, and he asked that question, "Adam, why me? You know, why me? 56 years, is that old enough to live here? Are you afraid? Do you want to live more?" And I said, "Father, I don't know why, but I assume I have maybe one inspiration what could happen." And this is the story of George. It's just a man like you and me. It's a brother who was afraid. It's a sister who was like a sister who was afraid because we don't know the future. But we know who holds the sparrow in his hand. And you are much more worth than his sparrows and all these beautiful countryside. So never forget, we are serving a beautiful Lord. And he asked me, "Adam, why me?" And I said, "Papa, you know, maybe there is a story I can tell you, and it will cheer you up." And he started having pains, and he was really not feeling well, so he had all his medication. They said they can't help him anymore. And I said, "Father, you had so many calls in your life, and you didn't hear, you didn't recognize it. I'm not blaming you. I had calls. I had many calls. But the last one I recognized. So maybe is this your call? Maybe sitting today, this morning, and listening, and you don't know why I'm here, why these things happen to me. But it could be a call of the Lord."
Amen.
And I said, "The Lord called you 34 years ago, and you didn't understand, you didn't hear that call. The Lord gave you a beautiful girl, and your wife was in expectation, and she went to the physician, and they said everything was fine, the baby was about to be delivered, and you went to the hospital, and we are all happy when things happen like that. It's a little bit mess for our ladies, but it's a beautiful time. You enjoy that. You are preparing. And you went into the hospital and everything was fine. And everything, you were excited. And the baby came and there was no cry. And you're sitting in that room and the physicians are there and you hear them walking and doing some things and whispering. There was no cry. And they said, they just came to the mother, so I'm speaking to George, they came to your wife, and they said those famous human sentence, those words, "I'm so sorry." What do you think of these words? We are always combined with pain. Our life is struggled with pain, because this is not our home. And they said to him these sad words, "We can't help you. I'm so sad. What happened? My wife," I said to my father-in-law, "God gave you a daughter, and she was born with an open stomach. I don't know exactly the medical name of that disease. I just skipped that because of our children. But just imagine what happened, and all these implants were outside, and the heart was beating outside, and all these things." And they said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." They just wrapped her and put it in a special kind of, I don't know, apparatus, and they just give her some reading, and they just had to prepare some operation. In this hospital, in Munich, Germany, there were two physicians in whole Germany, 80 million people, two physicians at that time needed to deal with that kind of trouble. And one of them was sitting in this hospital, having his hours waiting to be called on duty, just for you. And we can call it by chance, I call it by grace. And they put all those things inside and they sewed that small stomach together. And you're looking at your daughter now. She gave birth to two children. I call it grace. The physician came and they said many, many times, 1,000 children die with that disease. One survives. I don't know why hundreds and thousands, 991 was sacrificed. But God called you, and you didn't understand that. So, George, God wanted to say something to you, and you didn't understand that. You just changed a little bit your life. You thought you can, I will do it my own way. You know, we have a song, I do it my way. There is no your way. It's only one way. And we know His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So, sometimes we have our own mind. And I will never accuse you because I have my own mind. But we have to mind, we have to recognize there is only one way.
Amen.
And the Lord called you to that kind of miracle. Because the physicians would say, this was a miracle. We only did what we know to do. But we cannot give life. And we know who spoke about lies. We know who is the life giver. And it's good to have a sign. It's a shield sign. It's not our aim. It's not our will. This is not what we worship. But it's a good sign. If you were traveling to Dublin, and I see Dublin, a sign, 30 kilometers. Oh, I know, I'm on the road. It's a good road. This is why we need good preachers. Why we need worship leaders. Why we need ladies and beautiful brothers and sisters who like to sing and worship His name. Only shields on the side, road signs. But we need them. And this kind of sign, I said, Papa, was the delivery of your daughter. The Lord called you and you didn't change your name, your life. You started changing a little bit. 15 years after that is a second story. I'm talking to George. 15 years after that, the Lord called you a second time. Your wife was having a shower. She was just trying to clean herself and do something. And she found something. And I will just skip it, but you know what it is. And she went to the physician and they said the same sentence. It seems that our sentence is a touch to our family. I'm so sorry. We can't help you. And it is a rapid, speedy tumor, cancer, whatever. And they came to the physician from one to the other physician, and they started to change their program, eating, drinking, dressing, whatever. And the mother tried everything what she could. And you were witnessing to those things, I said to my papa. You were witnessing all these things. She tried to change her life. Nothing helped. They had four operations. They were taking off all the issue, everything what they could. They were doing their job. But there is no one who can heal. Only one. And His name is our Lord Jesus Christ. So the woman tried everything. She was skinny, bony. You, I said to George, you were carrying all the steps. She couldn't go to the steps, you were carrying her. She had a spoonful every morning, a spoonful medicine. She was eating medicine, pills, with spoons. I mean, it's really strange. I said, George, the Lord was calling you at time. Nothing helped. The physician said, you can go home, you will get morphine and getting injections at your own disposal, and you will do it at your own at home until it lasts. Because she asked, how long do I have to do this? And it was finished. They said, you know, we can't help you anymore. They just sent the woman home. And she tried everything. You know what yoga is. You know what all these orientation medicine is, and all these drinking of teas and herbs. I'm not against it. The Lord made the herbs. What we made out of the herbs is not His responsibility. But He made the herbs. So she tried everything. Nothing helped. All of a sudden she heard a tape. And the man in the tape was speaking, the Lord Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and all the day. place. So she just said, I want to see that preacher. I want to see that church where they believe the word of God in that manner. And she went to the church. She had acupuncture, you know what it is, so there was needles, there was stuff. And the preacher was preaching, and it was a good, good sermon, a very simple preacher, a very simple sermon. If you believe he died for you, it's already finished. So you mentioned that. God said it, the prophet preaches, it's good enough for me. And it was a sermon of healing, some kind of very simple, but a deep-going sermon of healing. The woman, Susan, his name was, Susan stood up, and I said to my father, just to remind you of the story, you were there. You saw all these things. She took all those acupunctures, those needles, put it in a handkerchief, placed it here beneath, stood on her foot and said, I deny every power of cancer. I deny all the medicine. I accept my destiny with Jesus Christ. Either will I die this day, because she refused to take medicine anymore. I want to die, or I want to live. I don't want to be somewhere lost in transition. I want to be a full 100% Christian, or I want to be a sinner. I hope you will understand your words, but I really want to be the best that I am. And she put that handkerchief on it beneath, and she stood on it, said, I want to be what Jesus wants me to be. And she was instantly healed. It was not a... It was not a healing through weeks and months. She was healed in 24 hours. Her skin was really yellow because of those chemotherapies and all these stuffs. But in a few 24 hours, she returned her color to how it was growing. After 2 weeks, she went to see the same physician who sent her home to die. And she knocked on the door. And the physician said, yes, it's your turn. And she just put her head through the door, and he did not recognize her. It was a physician, so he knew her many, many times. He did not recognize her. And she was talking, and she said, you know, and she explained the story. And I said to the father, just to remind you of George, you were there. You listened to all this conversation. And she said to the physician what happened, and the physician, may God bless our doctors and physicians. You should pray for them. They're just doing their jobs. Like a bus driver, like a teacher, like someone who's doing things he's in charge to do. And the physician said, go to that physician who healed you.
Yes, sir.
And I said, George, now it's your turn. So you ask me why me? Why is this happening to me? Some kind of eating cancer in a few 6 months. He was he was really weak and losing weight. He asked why. I said, Papa, it's your turn. It's your turn. You can bear on Jesus. You can say, Lord, just give me a cross that I can carry.
Amen.
And we baptized him. He was starting to read and listen messages.
Amen.
And after a few months, it was very rapidly. It just went off and off the hill. He was losing weight. He was really, really sick. 24th of May, it was the last time I saw him, and I said, I went to the hospital to say goodbye to someone. How do you say goodbye to someone that you love? It's hard. It's really hard. But, you know, we have to do things sometimes we don't like to do. And I went in, and this is a very, very important thing to understand for me. I learned a lot. I asked George, he was in bed in the hospital. You know, all these instruments and all these monitors, screening, all these things. It was really not good to see that. And I asked him, how are you? And he answered a very simple question, a very simple sentence. Adam, I'm fine.
Amen.
I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, if you know, we know that the Lord is a healer.
Amen.
I'll be finished in 3 minutes. But I just want to nail it down. We know that our Lord is a healer.
Amen.
Do you like a healer?
Amen.
Do you like a comforter?
Amen.
Do you like a person who loves you and who hugs you? But I said to my church, according to this testimony, if we know that he's a healer, who wants to be sick first?
Hallelujah.
Who wants to be
Amen.
Sick first?
Yes.
He needs us.
Amen.
Sometimes he needs this body to proclaim his glory.
Hallelujah.
So we all like to be healed, and our families turn together. And sometimes we have stress in our families. We slap in the door. Sometimes we say things we shouldn't.
Mm.
It's it's not good.
Amen.
But we should be aware of it. We should apologize.
Amen.
We should teach our children to see that even we big, big brothers and preachers, we can apologize.
Amen.
There's only one who's big, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And sometimes he needs you. So he dropped us out of eternity on this earth to be here for the 60, 70 years of my life. So my German Bible is teaching me that. I hope your English Bible too.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have 70, 80 years, sometimes more like Moses. But if you are here in this time, we should not be afraid. Volunteer, Lord, take me. If you need a sick person to be healed, take me. If you need a distressed family, take mine.
Amen.
If you need some brothers who are having some stress, just take my family and show to the world how we can be reconciled and healed together.
Amen.
I asked him, how are you, Father? I said, Adam, I'm fine. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That was his last word. I would like to die like that.
Amen.
I went off. My wife went in. She just said goodbye to her papa. How is it to say goodbye to a papa, never to see you again? It's hard. But we know I have power in Christ. He powers us. He empowered us. He gives us all the strength that we need. The mother went in. His wife went in. And he just said, how are you, George? And he said, beautiful sentences. I want to go home.
Hallelujah.
She didn't understand exactly. And she said, she started the story, you know, I'm too weak. And you are too weak. I cannot carry you home. Because, you know, your bones and I'm so... We could maybe ask to give you medicine. Maybe you will just renew strength and you can go home again. In a few days, we'll give you some vitamins. Carnally speaking. We people sometimes, we don't understand the word of God. And she said, and he said to his wife, you don't understand me. I'm going to go home. And she started again. I know. But I cannot carry you. We have no car. I have no driving license. We have to ask the physician. And she was starting up a story, as we do. We sometimes really do not understand why you are here. But one thing makes us sure, should be sure in this room, he knows why you are here. Maybe you don't know. But the most important thing is he knows. And he said to his wife, and she started like a story, I'm too weak. I cannot carry you home. And he was looking at his wife and he said, Susan, I know that you can't do that. But those two guys are sitting behind your back. Big angels, they can do that. And you saw the same thing, if I allow, I will just finish with those last words of the Bible. But we know these are words of Christ. But they are only letter and ink. But if you see the person in your life, once our prophet said you need to see one verse in your life and you can claim it all. In Luke chapter 16, verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar, a named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And you know the story. My focus is on 22. Okay, that's good. No, that's good. 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels.
Amen.
The rich man also died and was buried. So we have to know what our, where our riches, where is our spirituality, spiritual riches, where are these? But Christians never are buried. We're never buried. We always stay. There are some two angels behind your back. And may this always encourage you. You are not fighting this fight alone. I don't know what else do you need. But this is what I had on my heart today.
Yes.
So you are not alone.
Thank you, Lord.
There are two angels behind your back.
Amen.
Maybe we cannot see them.
Yes.
But the Lord will call us and give us eyes.
Hallelujah.
To see those angels.
Thank you,
Lord. You're never, never alone. There are always some angels, ministering angels for you. I love you. Pray for me. I will do the same for you. Shalom.
bless you, Lord Adam. We've lifted our hearts this morning.
Amen.
I am the Lord that healed thee.
Amen.
I've sent my word to heal you.
Amen.
Amen. To the best send blessings for them.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated for a while. I was so blessed by Brother Adam's testimony. Thank you very much, Brother. Thank you for visiting us, passing by way. For me, you can go home. You know, because it was so powerful that we don't even need to preach again. Sometimes we don't understand God. Maybe today this is what God wanted us to hear. You know, so we may be expecting, waiting, but the thing has come already. We are just going to build upon what the brother said.
Amen.
So if you are spiritual, you will understand what God wanted to say.
Amen.
Because each and every one of us, there's an appointment waiting for us.
Amen.
We are going to meet our Lord, some by death, some by rapture, but anyway we are going to meet him.
Amen.
So how will you, are you prepared for that appointment? Are you prepared for that moment?
Amen.
If you are not, this is the time.
Amen.
Because this body is not a friend, you know, this body that we care so much about. One day you'll hate it. One day you'll see yourself, you know, you'll be embarrassed to go outside. I had a brother, you know, I went once, I traveled, you know, he was my same age with me because we are not same mother. So we are so attached together, a close friend to me. Healthy young man and very beautiful. When I came back, I knocked the door, I enter, he opened me the door. I asked, Jacques, is this you? You are so thin. He was unrecognizable, eaten by sickness, by disease. You know, this body is something we shouldn't take as our friend. Let's work for that inner man, which will last forever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you again, brother. We really appreciate the testimony. Every few visitors today, Rita and Sharon from Dublin 13 visiting with us today. They should be...
Can you stand, please?
God bless you. We have brother Goran's father, Vivian. Brother Goran's father. Of course, we have brother Adam with his family as well from Germany. I can see his wife and two children. God richly bless you. We have a few thanksgiving. Sister Julie thanking the Lord for his grace in passing all her exams with good grades. Amen. Amen. There's one announcement. There's a reminder to handling your pledges, pledge slips today for the church building fund. And one last, we have Brother Zilvinus from Lituania asking to remember his brother Linus in prayer that the Lord will bring him back to the way of the truth. Amen. Amen. Which is a very sincere and worthy topic to pray for. Amen.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your people, for your children coming to your house, O Lord. We thank you for the worship, we thank you for the songs, we thank you for the special items, O Lord, and especially for this powerful testimony. O Lord, now take the leadership as we want to commit ourselves into your hands, O Lord. We don't just speak knowledge, O Lord, but we want you to streamline life, O Lord, through us, O Lord, from your eternal throne into your children, O Lord. Let the words that will be said give us the right words, O Lord, the right expressions, O Lord, so that your children will have the understanding of what you want them to listen today, O Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Bless our pastor, O Lord. He's down there in Nottingham, O Lord, probably preaching in this moment, O Lord. We commit him into your hand. Use your mouth, O Lord, as your mouthpiece to talk to your people, O Lord. Bless them. Bless us as we open your word. We thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Just a special thank to Brother Maxwell, which I really appreciate. I want to say it because most of the time we wait when he's not there to say it. But I really appreciate Brother Maxwell. He's a very big asset for this church. And he has sacrificed himself many times, you know, for those past years, for the sake of this church, for the sake of the kingdom of God. We praise God for that. And I always consider him as an elder to me. I even call him our young elder. So let God bless him.
Amen.
Let's stand. I'm going to read Matthew 12 to 22. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17. First reading Matthew 4:12-22. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the regions and shadow of death, light is sprung up.
From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James and the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and immediately left their ship and their father and followed him. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. You may be seated. So, two Wednesdays ago, we started a little topic that we called the new creation of God. So we are going to carry on that, start from what we built. And since many people were not there that day, we are going to lay a kind of background to remind ourselves of what we said that day, and then we can carry on. Amen. We see from Matthew 4 that we read that it was just the beginning of the ministry of Jesus.
Amen.
So it was after his baptism, he went into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And then after coming from the temptation, after winning the temptation, this is the first place he went to. He went into Zebulun. And the Bible says, those lands were covered by darkness. And Jesus, his coming into Zebulun was a shining of the light unto these towns, unto those lands. Amen. And it said, this brought us back to Genesis 1. Because we are talking about the new creation of God. And Jesus has just started his ministry, which was about to restore the creation of God that was lost in Eden, that was fallen in Eden. Amen. So it brings us back to Genesis 1, where the earth was covered in darkness. Zebulun was covered in darkness. That the condition Jesus found the world in when he came.
Amen.
Genesis 1, the world was covered in darkness, and God said, "Let there be light." Amen.
Amen.
And Jesus going into Zebulun, the Bible says, a light sprung up into Zebulun. It was, "Let there be light," for the second creation of God. Amen. So Jesus was going into a land that was covered in darkness because God wanted to reproduce his plan that was interrupted because of sin in the Garden of Eden. We went back to see, if we are talking about a new creation, how did the first creation take place? Because the new creation, God doesn't change his ways. The new creation will be the reproduction, the repetition of the first creation. So we went on back to see, how did God start his creation? The first thing he created, the prophet says, it was not man. It was not the light. The first thing God created was the Logos. Amen. We read in questions and answers in Genesis, when the prophet says, the first creation was God himself. Then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God. Amen. That's why in Revelation, Jesus says, Revelation 3:14, "I am the beginning of the creation of God." Amen. The beginning of the creation of God was not man.
was not the earth, was not light, was the Logos. Amen.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. We explain, the prophet showed us what the Word means. Because most of the time, with our human understanding, when they say, in the beginning was the Word, we think it was voices or writings. But what is exactly the Word? The prophet brought us back to says, I got a beautiful picture in my mind now. If you could take a little trip with me. Let's go back 100 million years before the ever was a star. Now there was a time when there was nothing here, it was just forever, eternity. Jehovah God was there covering all the space and all the time. He was for everlasting and everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
Then after a while, I begin to see a little sacred light begin to form, like a little halo of something. You could only see it by spiritual eyes. The next thing we begin to see by eyes of the supernatural, we see a little white light forming out there. What was that? That was called by Bible readers Logos, or the anointing. The part of God begin to develop into something so human beings could have some type of an idea of what God is. Amen.
Amen.
That was the Logos.
Amen.
That halo of light. Amen. I can see it's a little light moving. That was the Word of God. Amen. When they say the Word of God, it's not words like the ones I'm pronouncing now. It was that halo, it was that form that God took from his eternity, from his eternal being, to squeeze himself into a form that human beings could understand what it is. Amen. That was the beginning. Amen. Now, God gave himself birth to this son, which was before there was even an atom. Now, he continued saying, now that's the Son of God, the Logos. Now I can see him playing around like a little child before the Father's door. Amen. With all eternity. Then I see his imaginary makeup. He begins to think of what things would be. And I can hear him say, let there be light. Amen.
Amen.
Now we are in Genesis 1. Amen.
Amen.
But before, the prophet traveled back in time to show us what was going on before Genesis 1.
Amen.
God formed himself a body, and in Genesis 1, he said, let there be light. Amen.
Amen.
That was the first creation. But before he started creating, what happened? The prophet says, the angel sang.
Amen.
Amen. The prophet says, the first time the angel ever sang, that's in why it has to be the shepherd. It was when God was making his first creation. Because the prophet says, the angel, the singing of the angels, created an atmosphere so that God could start his creation. Amen.
Amen.
We are talking about the new creation.
Amen.
We see now, when God said, he gave them the garden, and we know the story, everything, the fall came, everything we know, God said, I will restore.
Amen.
Because I will never accept to be defeated by the devil. I will restart a new creation. The seed of the woman. Amen. Just from the beginning. We are just laying the foundation.
Amen.
So, it was time now for God to start a new creation. He said, he will reproduce the same thing he did in the first creation. That's why he had to create himself a body. Because the first creation started by the creation of himself. The new creation now, he said he will create himself a body in a womb of a woman. Amen. So, there, down there before, beyond the eternity, he started that process of condensing himself to make the Logos. I don't know how long it took. It may have taken 9 months. It's just me speaking. Amen. But it took some time. And in Mary's womb, it took 9 months to create himself a body to begin the new creation. The prophet says, he created mortal earth. When he was creating mortal life, the angels sang in heaven.
Amen.
But here, he is creating a new life, eternal life for man. And he's singing to his subjects, to angels on earth, not in heaven. Heaven had eternal life. They sang to the heaven when the mortal creation come in. And there, and here, the immortal creation is coming in, and now they are singing to earthly people. That's why when Jesus was born, the angels came to sing. Amen.
Amen.
The angel came to sing, not only to worship God, but the angels sang as they sang for the first creation. Because it was a beginning of another creation. Amen. The angels sang again on earth. Amen. God was beginning the new creation. And the first thing he created in the new creation, it was the same logos he created in the first creation. Amen. It was now laying the ground for the new creation to take place. Amen. So, the angel sang, Jesus was born, and the plan has to start again. But the devil was, you know, he was not playing games actually. He was watching because he heard the promise in the garden that the seed of the woman will come. So he was waiting for that moment. He was watching the seed, silence. So when he noticed, because the Bible says he was in Eden, he was there when God was making a creation, the first creation. So when he noticed that the angels were singing, the devil understood that this symphony, I heard it before. When I heard that symphony that time, it was a creation taking place. So if I can hear the same symphony today, it means the new creation must have been taking place. I have to do something to kill the new creation. Amen. So he ordered the king Herod to kill all the newborns. Because he didn't want to take a gamble. See, something is happening. That child that is born, angels are singing for him. And they are singing the same melody we were singing when they were creating the first creation. So I don't have to take a chance. I have to kill the first the creation. So he would kill all the children. The devil wanted to make sure that the seed is killed from its beginning. But God knew it was not the time yet. He made a plan for the child to escape death. Amen. The devil was still watching because he said, okay, I missed him as a baby, but my final plan will be to kill him. Because if I let him, because I know he is the word. And the initial plan of God was to replenish the word by the spoken word. And if this man happened to speak and create new people out of his being, they're going to be words of God, and then God's plan will be fulfilled. So I have to kill him before he speaks and bring children to manifestation. He started looking for him, but he was not quite sure. He said, in Eden, I did something. You know, I gave Adam and Eve, you know, I bribed them, a kind of bribing them. I presented them to some glory that God couldn't give them. So I deceived them, and they fell. I would use the same tactic now. You will be like gods, and you'll be able to create like gods. So I'll go and do the same to Jesus. He brought him into the desert, and he started tempting him, showing him things that Jesus, if only he followed the right pattern, he will possess them. But he wanted to give them a shortcut, like he did in Eden. In Eden, Adam fell. But Jesus, being the Word himself, he overcame. Amen.
Amen.
He overcame, and after passing that test, because Adam didn't pass the test, he couldn't reach to that level, he couldn't reach to that potential where he could speak children to existence. He didn't stay long enough to manifest the spoken word. He failed the test. But Jesus, facing the same test, he overcame the test. And after overcoming the test, he was now equipped to speak the words and bring children to existence. Amen. Because he passed the test. And the devil, he didn't want to stop there. He said, I will get you. Even if I didn't get you now, I will get you, because my plan is to stop the creation. Jesus, after overcoming the temptation, straight away, he goes into Zabulon. The light shines up on Zabulon. And as the prophet says, in the beginning, under the darkness, seeds of God were lying beneath the surface. And they needed light for them to come to manifestation. Amen. When Jesus enters Zabulon, the town that was covered in darkness, when he enters, the first thing he does, he calls Peter and his brother Andrew. Amen.
Amen.
The children of God that were sitting beneath the darkness, when the light came out, when the light shone upon them, he spoke the word and they come to manifestation. Amen. That was the beginning of the new creation of God. Amen. As God said in Genesis, he spoke the word and the seed that were laid beneath the surface came to manifestation. Jesus entered Zabulon and he spoke.
Amen.
He met many people in the town, amen. But those particular people, when they saw the light, they came to life, amen. The life that was in them came to manifestation. Jesus started now, the step that Adam didn't succeed to achieve, Jesus started calling children and his daughters to manifestation through the spoken word, amen. So, the creation started. Jesus now, he knew that something had to be done. I think that's where we stopped from the last time. The new creation, Jesus said, God had the power to come and just start a new mankind. He could just speak as he spoke in Genesis. Create, let's say, mold man or whatever. But he said, no, in Genesis I said I would restore. So the new creation had to be built on the ruins of the fallen creation. Amen.
Amen.
The first creation was perfect, but sin came and it was dead. The new creation, he said, no, I wouldn't accept defeat from the devil. Because if I kill them and start a new one, he will say, okay, I've won the first leg, now let him start the second leg. But he said, from that fallen now, I'm going to restore it. So he spoke no children to existence. They were born as children of God, but in a sinful flesh. Amen. That's why he spoke about the new birth. Sorry. That's why his first major teaching was, you have to be born again. Because your first birth was according to the plan of the devil. You are born in the body that came according to the plan of the enemy. Amen. So he's bringing now the new creation. He's picking children to existence, but they are being born. Your soul is living. Your soul is called by God, but it's living in a sinful body. That's why you have to be born again to see the kingdom of God. The new creation of God. Amen. So now that's the difficult part. Because the first creation, it was easy. There was nothing. God spoke. Adam came to existence. Adam didn't have any, human background to refer to. He was there, all he knew was God spoke. Amen. But us, we came according to a certain nature. We took some characters from our fathers, from our families, and we are born in that sinful nature. But when the word comes, speaks and calls us to life, it finds us in that condition. Your soul is saved. Amen. When you come to the word, your soul, you accept the word, your soul is saved. But your body, amen, you're a saved soul living in a sinful body. That's why he said you have to be born again. Amen. You have to be born again because the new creation will be the restoration of the first creation. We are going back to what we were. And in the first creation, we had a body that didn't, Adam didn't have a body that came according to the plan of the devil. So, he started now to make ways. He started to make ways so that we can be brought back to what we were.
That's right.
Amen. So, he came as a man, the Bible says, he came as a second Adam. Because the first Adam was in the first creation. The second creation starts with a second Adam. That's normal. Amen. But what the devil didn't notice, he didn't only come as a second Adam, he also came as a Boaz.
Amen.
Amen. Because he has to fulfill the two. The second Adam came to restore the first Adam. Amen. So he has to bring now the two functions with him. He has to demonstrate that he was Adam, also that he was Boaz. Because he had to bring back to restore the fallen Adam. So it was a bit of confusion for the devil. And was playing a kind of game. And God was happy with the game the devil was playing. Because he was going to use the devil weapon to fulfill his plan.
Amen.
Amen. So, the devil willing to kill Jesus, for him it was okay. I will kill him. And maybe the devil was thinking, Jesus would have natural children. And those natural children, since he is the word, if he happened to have natural children, they're going to be the word as well. So before he happened to have natural children, I have to kill him. He didn't understand that it was a spiritual birth now. It was children that were being brought to existence through the power of the spoken word. So for him, pursuing to kill Jesus was an achievement. But he didn't know that God was just going to use that tactic to make him fulfill his plan. Amen.
Amen.
So he tried to kill Jesus as a baby. We all know that Jesus came to die. Amen.
Amen.
But dying as a baby, would that be a benefit for us? Because he was supposed to be our Boaz. He was supposed to be our Redeemer. Amen. And the Redeemer has to fulfill some requirements. Amen. And one of the requirements was to have a good testimony. To be of good reputation. Amen. And as a baby, he couldn't prove that he had a good reputation. Amen. That's why God didn't allow him to die at that age. He had to escape to Egypt, amen, so that he could grow up, amen, and prove, because to be a redeemer, there was many requirements. You have to be from the same kind, amen. He was from the same kind, amen. You have to be rich. He was rich, amen. You have to make a public testimony. He could make it, amen. You have to be of good reputation, amen. And that condition, as a baby, couldn't fulfill it, amen. So that's why God had to make him escape, because it was not the time yet for him to die. He could have shed the blood, amen, but that blood could not have been worthy to redeem us, amen. That's why God had to delay his death, amen. Even though the devil wanted to kill him, even though he came to die, but it was not the time yet. He had to go to death. be proven to be of good testimony. Amen. Beyond being proven to be of good reputation. That's why when Pilate wanted to condemn him, he said, I don't see anything wrong with this man. It was the public testimony given about him that he was of good reputation. With that condition fulfilled, he could now freely go to die, because his death now would have a benefit for us. Amen. Are you with me? So the devil was busy trying to kill him, but many times they wanted to kill him, he escaped. But Jesus, you came to die for us. Why are you running away from that? It was not the time yet. There were steps. Because don't forget, we are talking about a new creation. There were steps that needed, because he didn't just want to die for the sake of dying, but it was a big plan. And for that plan to be fulfilled, some steps has to be followed. He had to prove first that he was Adam. Amen. So he had to live a life to demonstrate that that power that Adam had in the garden, I hold that same power. Amen. That's why he could walk on the sea. Amen. That's why he could raise the dead. Amen. That's why he could speak things to existence. Amen. Because he came to prove that I own that power that we lost in the garden. I am the second Adam. I am the beginning of the new creation, and the new creation has to prove that that was in the first creation is back to life again. Amen. So he had to go through that process. He had to go through that process of teaching. So human beings that we are, we could see, you know, because we could have been taught about eternal life, but we didn't see it being manifested somewhere. Dominion over nature. Because when you have something that, when you have an evidence, you know your faith, your expectation rises to a higher level. That's why you had to demonstrate that what was done there, I can do it today. So that we have something to refer to when we are looking at the redemption of our body. Amen. So, he did many manifestations to show that he came at Adam. That he came to bring us back, to create, to bring many children to life. Amen.
Amen.
So he spoke the word many times. He went there, he spoke, his seeds came to life. He went there, Zacchaeus, he heard the word, it was God creating his new children. From the firstborn was now equipped with the full power of the spoken word, and he was now able to bring other children to manifestation.
Amen.
Amen. Nicodemus, Matthew, who else? All of them, they could now come to life.
Amen.
But the devil was still, you know, in clouds. He didn't really understand. He said, no, this man, to finish with him, I have to kill him. So if I kill him, maybe because he didn't have the natural children yet, I'll be happy, because the plan will die and everything. I'll reign as I always do. So he managed to kill him. But he didn't know that by killing him, he didn't kill Adam.
Amen.
He killed Boaz. Amen.
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 Now Boaz could now stand and say, I am worthy.
Amen.
To redeem these people.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I came as Adam to demonstrate that this could be done again. Amen.
Yes.
I came as Adam to prove that they can be brought back. Amen. But now that you have killed me, I can prove that I've paid the price.
Amen.
They can be redeemed now. Amen. It was too late for him to realize. But it was part of the big plan. Because the children were living in a sinful body. The soul is redeemed. But they are living in a body that can can't inherit eternal life.
Amen.
I have to do something to redeem that body.
Amen.
You have to be born again. Amen.
Amen.
So he started teaching, let born again, be born again, be born again. And it was like a birth of a child. Amen. The church, the believers were just born. But after his death, after his crucifixion, he had paid the price.
Amen.
He was ready now to take the rights, the book, and to give it back to us. But why didn't he do that that time? Because there was a scripture. Amen. Because all the requirements were met.
Amen.
Adam, he proved that he was Adam. He proved that he was a redeemer. He fulfilled all the requirements to be a redeemer. And man was still in his fallen condition. He even died on Calvary to redeem that man, to bring him back to Eden. But why after his death, he didn't restore Eden? Amen.
Amen.
There was a scripture. Let's go in Galatians 4. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Galatians 4, 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though be the Lord of all." Amen.
Amen.
"But he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father." Amen.
Amen.
So it was a birth. The children were just born. And he has acquired a price. He had acquired back their possession. But they were just babies. Amen.
Amen.
He couldn't give that right back then yet.
Amen.
Because the Bible says they were still small children.
Amen.
They differ not from the slave. They are put under tutors. So when he finished that work, he couldn't give back the rights straight away, because the children had to grow up.
Amen.
So he said, "I'll put you under a tutor." Amen.
Amen.
He sent the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
He said, "Okay, Matthew, Philip, John, Peter, all Mary, Magdala, whoever, they are saved. I know they are saved.
Amen.
I spoke the word, they have accepted the word.
Amen.
I know their souls are saved.
Amen.
I'm going to leave. I leave them. But the devil will be with them. So for me not to lose what the job I have done, I have to put something in them to protect them until they reach that maturity to get the possession back."
Amen.
So he sent the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And what is the Holy Ghost? The prophet says, are we together? The prophet says, in the bridge between the ages and the seven seals, "Now when we got scriptures opened, the Holy Spirit itself is here." The Holy Spirit is a seal.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is a seal, and the seal signifies what? A finished work.
Amen.
Amen. So before he left, he said, "I will send you the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because we are in the process of bringing you back. But I can't bring you back now, because there's many things you need to learn again. I can't just give you that authority, because authority without character is in vain.
Amen.
You need to develop a certain character for you to be given authority.
Amen.
So you are not prepared yet to get that authority. So you are saved. For your salvation, everything is fine. Your souls are saved. But for me to make sure that nothing will disturb you, nothing will come to mingle within my plan again, and put my seal on you."
Amen.
And that seal, the prophet says, it means a finished work.
Amen.
Your salvation is acquired.
Amen.
Amen. It's a finished work. There's no questions about that. You are saved, my brother. You are saved, my sister. Amen. Your salvation, there's no questioning about your salvation. But we are living in a sinful body. Amen. That's why sometimes we wake up and wonder, am I a Christian? Am I not a Christian? Maybe. But he said, no, for me to make sure that all those questionings have found their answers, I put my seal on it. Meaning, the prophet says, it's a finished work.
Amen.
He carried on to say, apart from it being a finished work, he says, like I used to work for the railroad company, and with load box cars with cans and different things from the canning factory. But then before the car could be sealed, the inspector came around to see if that car was properly loaded.
Amen.
If it wasn't, he condemned the car.
Amen.
Then he had to do it all over again until the inspector was satisfied.
Amen.
Then when the inspector was satisfied, he shut the door.
Hallelujah.
And places a seal up on it, and then no one can break the seal until it reaches destination. Amen.
Amen.
That's what he did. That's what he's doing with you.
Amen.
You have accepted the word. Amen.
Amen.
My brother, my sister, you are saved because you have accepted the word.
Amen.
The inspector now is coming, checking, seeing, is the word, is the sign, is the token applied in this life? Amen. And when he sees things okay, he puts his seal on you, and you are sealed to destination. Amen.
Amen.
Nothing can trouble you anymore. Amen.
Amen.
So he put the seal on us. Don't forget, we are going back to Eden.
Amen.
But we still have a long way to go.
Amen.
We are following that track. Amen.
Amen.
So, what does he say again? What is the Holy Ghost? He says, another thing a seal signifies ownership.
Amen.
The seal has a mark on it. Amen.
Amen.
Is there any farmer here? The farmers, most of the time, those who have cows or sheep, they'll seal. They put their marks on this, on their flocks. When you see, you know there's a seal, there's a mark on it, and it belongs to such and such person. Even if they are mixed up, when they go and watch, check the marks, they'll say, oh, this cow belongs to such person.
These
cows come from such farm. Amen. So he puts his seal on us, not only to prove that it's a finished work, but he owns us. Amen. Nothing can trouble us anymore. Not only we are sealed to destination, but we are his property again. A seal means also security.
Amen.
Amen. So he made sure before he left that this new creation, the devil will not kill it anymore. Amen. My new creation, I want to restore Eden. I don't want the devil to destroy it anymore. I've paid the price. I've met all the requirements. Now I leave them. I won't be here myself. The devil will be there, but he won't succeed this time. I put my seal on them. They are sealed to destination.
Amen.
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 So you are wondering, this is true, brother, what you are saying. Yes, we are sealed to destination, but I may not have the Holy Ghost. There are many who just questioning. We know. I've been there myself.
Amen.
Do I have the Holy Ghost? Yeah, these things are for those who have the Holy Ghost. What if I don't have the Holy Ghost? My brother, my sister, let me tell you something. You want to know if you have the Holy Ghost? Who want to know?
Amen.
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 Let's read something.
Amen.
I was happy listening to Brother Maxwell the other day. I said, this is it. Amen.
Amen.
In this Mayan church age, he read it last Friday.
Amen.
The prophet says, now we have been constantly saying that the true evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost is for the believer to receive the word for the age in which they live. Amen. Amen. Who have the Holy Ghost? Amen. 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 My sister, you have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Don't let the devil deceive you. You have the Holy Ghost. Amen. But let me tell you what happened.
Amen.
Let me tell you what the matter with you. Ephesians 4:30. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. Amen. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed. Let's explain it. You are sealed. Okay? It means you have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But you have just grieved it. Amen.
Amen.
It may be there, sitting there. It wants you to live a certain life.
Amen.
It wants you to do a certain thing, to follow a certain way. But you didn't listen to the leadership of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You grieved the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But it doesn't compromise you being baptized of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You have the Holy Ghost. But just check yourself. Go back. See where you have grieved the Holy Ghost. Because it may be there in a dormant state. It may be there sleeping. You can't feel it anymore. You can't feel the blessing of your salvation anymore. The joy of salvation is gone because you have grieved the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But you have the Holy Ghost. Check your life. Examine your life.
Amen.
For you to believe this message is not given to anyone.
Amen.
It's not given to anyone to believe this message.
Amen.
With this world, you know, our sisters not wearing trousers. Many times people ask me, in that your church, why do you let you tell the women not to wear trousers? This is Europe. It's very cold, you know. The legs, and they need to cover their legs. I said to the man, if you take the old movies from the 1930s, 1940s, you won't see any no woman in trousers. In the 1920s, 1930s, and even the 1950s, all those old pictures, old movies, there was no women in trousers. But they were still living in Europe, isn't it? And those times they were even harsher.
That's right.
Winters than the ones we have before. How did they survive? They were in dresses, they were in skirts, they were not in trousers. So saying that it's because it is Europe is just an excuse. For ages and generations, women have lived in this continent with no trousers. Amen.
Amen.
So to believe this message, my brother, is not given to anyone.
Amen.
You have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But just, you didn't entertain the Holy Ghost the way it wanted. Because when it comes, it wants to lead you.
Amen.
When it comes, it means it's a new birth.
Amen.
A new birth means you are dying to your own thinking.
Amen.
You are dying to your own self. And you are now living a new life.
Amen.
Led by the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the Holy Ghost is there watching over us. As we read in Romans 8, the tutor, God blesses us. Because we are waiting, we spoke in the Easter sermons, we spoke about the way to adoption. We saw how God wants, what God wants to see in you to bring you to adoption.
Amen.
God wants to see some character. So he puts the instructor, he puts the tutor there, the Holy Ghost, to watch over us, to show us, to fashion that character in us, so that we can be now qualified Because God will give the title back only when he sees that they are ready now. They can represent the title properly. They can defend the title. Amen. The Holy Ghost was there throughout the ages. Ephesus, Smyrna, Brother Maxwell is an expert on that.
Amen.
Amen. So, throughout the seven church ages, the Holy Ghost was there as a tutor, watching over us,
Amen.
Teaching us, showing us the way, until God saw that it was now time for this church to come up to maturity.
Amen.
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 It was not time for the church to come up to maturity. We are now in Revelation 5.
Amen.
But Abraham calls it, there was a, I just repeat the prophet. I don't have the quote here. He says, there was a fellow sitting on the throne. Amen.
Amen.
Holding a book in his hands. Amen.
Amen.
And he was calling now. This is, I hold the book here. Who is worthy to take the book?
Amen.
Who is worthy now to claim the book?
Amen.
Nobody could. We know the story about the book. And the prophet says, what was that book? The prophet says, in the breach, sorry, let me just find it. When Adam forfeited for wisdom instead of faith, the book went back to the hand of its owner.
Amen.
It says first, now, but it is a book, a mysterious book.
Amen.
It's a book of redemption.
Amen.
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 Now we are following the title now. The book of redemption. When Adam forfeited it for wisdom instead of faith, it went back to the hand of the owner, the Almighty God. And he says, in the hands of God, waiting for redemption claims.
Amen.
Amen. He made a way for redemption. He made a way back. And someday, the Redeemer is to take it back. Amen.
Amen.
So now God said, this book doesn't belong to me. He was holding the book in his hand. He said, but actually, it's too heavy for me to hold this book. It doesn't belong to me. I want to hand it back to his rightful owner.
Amen.
Because when he created Adam, he put him in Eden, he gave him the book. He says, this is the ownership.
Amen.
I'm God in heaven, you are God on earth. So you own everything.
Amen.
But when Adam lost his privileges, the devil was about to take the book. God said, no, you can't touch it. God took it back. But he didn't take it back to possess it. He took it back to keep it.
Amen.
For that day when that worthy person would come to claim the book.
Amen.
So he was there standing. Who can take the book?
Amen.
Who can? Who can? And we know what happened. John wept and everything. But the Lamb came.
Amen.
He said, you know, I paid the price.
Amen.
I am the one who can.
Amen.
I am the one who was worthy because I proved I fulfilled all the requirements.
Amen.
To hold the book. Amen.
Amen.
So the Lamb takes the book. Now listen to how the prophet is going to put it. He said, sorry. It says, the possession of the book, its redemptions means all legal possession to all that was lost by Adam and Eve. Amen. So, to possess the book meant you had the power that Adam Eve.
Amen.
That Eve lost, Adam and Eve lost. He says, its legal possession to the abstract deed means that you possess everything that Adam and Eve lost.
Amen.
The possession of that deed.
Amen.
So now, it was now, God wanted now to give the possession. He wanted to give the power back. But it was to be given to someone who could claim and exhaust that authority worthily. Amen. So Jesus, after his going back to heaven, he could straight away go and claim the book. But he knew the book doesn't even belong to me. If I claim it now, I still hold it. Those guys, they are not ready yet for me to hand it to them. So he was just sitting, doing the work of mediation.
Amen.
He wanted to watch over us to see how are we doing there, receiving, you know, the report from the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
How are they doing there? They are fine. I've said they have to do this. They are obeying. I've said they have to do this. He was receiving a constant report of our conduct. When the tutor now, it came a time, he said to him, Father, they are ready now.
Amen.
He said, are they ready? Yes, they are. Can they be given the title now? He said, yes, they can. He stood up. Amen.
Amen.
He went and took the book.
Amen.
Amen. So now he had made the claim. He took the book. And we want to see now, the prophet shows us what the book entitled us to. Amen.
Amen.
Because Adam had the book. And let's go and see what Adam was capable of. Because possessing the book, we have to know that we are also capable of. That's what Adam had. Amen.
Amen.
The prophet says, I will restore 54, the 9th of the August. He said, and there, but when sitting back in that time, when I can see Eve in her beauty as she sat there, and they didn't know what sin was, walking down through the garden, the wind blew and she said, oh dear, that wind. She was just a groan, you know, a complaint. She said, oh, that wind. She said, oh Adam, when she said, oh, that wind. And Adam said, peace.
Amen.
And the wind stopped.
Amen.
Where has man fallen? The prophet asked. Where has man fallen? Because he could stop the wind, because
Amen.
He could control nature. And nature was obeying.
Amen.
Eve could say, oh Adam, if this tree here was just sitting over here, wouldn't it look much prettier? So they could have been walking the garden. Eve said, Adam, this tree, I'm not happy the way it's here. I want it to be there. And Adam could say, be plucked up and cast over here.
Amen.
And it did it.
Amen.
Now the prophet carries on saying, the second Adam proved it could be done.
Amen.
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 That's why Jesus had to be the second Adam.
Amen.
Because he had to prove that power was for the human beings again.
Amen.
That's right. He controlled all nature. It was given into Adam's hands to control all nature. And when Adam's redeemed back, now he's bringing us back to today. He said, and now when Adam is redeemed back again to God, the way he should be, and have faith in God, he will do it again.
Amen.
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 That power, sorry.
Right.
Amen.
That power, that control over nature,
yes,
when Adam is redeemed, brought back to God,
Amen.
He will do it again. Amen.
Amen.
Keep that for me. Amen.
Amen.
Keep that.
Amen.
He said, he'll do it again. Amen.
Amen.
Because it lays in Adam's hand.
Amen.
Christ is that link that linked man together. Amen. He's showing us now that there was Adam in the garden. He had the power. And Christ, the second Adam, demonstrated the same power. Amen. And he said, when Adam is restored, he will do the same thing again. Amen. And Christ is the link that holds them together. Amen.
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 Now, let's... Are you with me?
Amen.
Now the book was there. Throughout the ages, we saw this power being demonstrated in the second Adam. We saw Jesus, so man could see now that I live in a very, I have limitations in this body. But I can see through Jesus, a man of flesh and blood, some he performs things that I can't perform into this body. He could walk on the water. Amen. He could speak to nature. He could bring things to existence. He could do many things that I can't do in this body. There was something now to aim to. Amen. That's why Paul in Romans 8:22-23. He says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth.
Amen.
And traveled in pain together until now.
Amen.
And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Amen. Listen, it's not the redemption of our souls. Our souls are saved. Amen. Paul used the proper words here. He said the redemption of our bodies. Amen. That's why we are groaning in ourselves. Because we could see Jesus in a kind of body that has no limitations like our bodies. Amen. He could go through walls. Amen. He could be seen here and be seen the second instant here and there. He could be, you know, with no limitations. And our bodies now are groaning because we can see that we are subject to death. We are subject to sickness. We are subject to disease. But that body that will not suffer these things, our bodies now are groaning to go there. And we have been expecting for that moment to come where you take the book. Amen. Because taking the book will give us now access to what our body is groaning for. Amen. So, the word groan. Sorry, I'm a little bit mixed up. I didn't page my papers, so. Yeah, the word groan, I don't have the explanations here, but the dictionary says, I have to find it because I can't reproduce it correctly the way it is said.
Amen.
So you bear with me?
Amen.
It says it's a cry of distress. Groaning is a cry of distress, a cry, a deep desire for something. It even just says we are crying. He used the word groan. Groan means we are overburdened. Amen.
Amen.
Someone who is overburdened by something is groaning for something that way to be taken away. Amen.
Amen.
That's the meaning of the word groaning here.
Amen.
So our souls, our body, in ourselves we are groaning because we have seen that this is not, there's a different life.
Amen.
There's a different body. And we were now groaning to access to that life where there's no limitation.
Amen.
Back to the new creation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, the book was there. The man was sitting on the throne. And what was the book? The prophet says it was an abstract. Amen.
Amen.
These words troubled me.
Amen.
Amen. I even asked Brother Maxwell a few days ago. I said, Brother Maxwell, I'm a French speaker. You know, English is my second language. In my French, when I read this quote, the word they use for the French speakers, it says, le titre de propriété incontestable.
Amen.
It means the unquestionable title of title deed. It means the undisputable title deed.
Amen.
But when I read in English, I said, the prophet says, an abstract title deed. I was confused. I said, so maybe the French translators didn't really catch the meaning. Because it didn't make sense for me. So I asked Brother Maxwell, but I was not very convinced by his explanation. Sorry. Yes, even for myself. Because it's a legal word. It's a technical word. So after him, I asked Brother Andrew. I said, Brother Andrew, I don't understand this. Because of my English, maybe. But you English speakers, native English speakers, explain to me what does it mean. So he gave me a link. And I went to read the link. I said, oh, praise God.
Amen.
Because I can see now even the French translators, I thought it was strong in French, but it was not strong enough in French. Amen. It was not strong enough in French. It says undisputable, unquestionable, but they have to find another word. Because it's more powerful. Amen.
Amen.
So when I went to read the abstract, what it means, it's a legal term. It means an abstract is a record of property's ownership going back as far as possible.
Amen.
Abstractors typically use their own records stored in an abstract plant, coupled with visiting government offices to pull additional title data. After reviewing all of the documents that are related to a property, the abstractor summarizes them into a condensed document. By reviewing the abstract, you can see not only who currently own the property, but the entire history of the property's ownership. Amen. Amen. So that book, it was the title deed. Not only it was undisputable, but search well done on the ownership of the book far way back to its beginning. Amen. So that nobody could stand and deny or question the ownership of the person who owns the book. Amen. So that's so powerful for us. Amen. Because it's an abstract. And there's another definition. They say, when a person or business agrees to purchase a real estate, that person or business arranges for an examination of the history of the property's title. The examination is known as a title search. That's from this examination that the abstract comes. A title search is conducted to determine that the seller of the property in fact owns the property and has a free and clear title. And free and clear title has no clouds on it. Which means that no person or business other than the sellers has the interest or claim on that property. Amen.
Amen.
So that's the idea behind the abstract. So when the prophet was saying the abstract title deed, it was not only a title of ownership, but it was a title that has been searched thoroughly and proven that no other person has claim on that title. Amen. So possessing that title, no other person would come and say that there may have been a mistake. Amen. Because the abstracts are unquestionable. Amen. That's why it's very important for us to follow up, to follow this, you know, the course of this book. To know where the book is now. Amen. You want to know where the book is now? Let the prophet tell us.
Amen.
So, Jesus went and took the book. We know what happened later, after. He broke the seals because he had to reveal some important things that will give us bring us to our full maturity.
Amen.
To be now these children, sons and daughters that could, you know, manifest those rights, the claims in the book. Amen. After he took the book, The prophet says, now see, the mystery of the seven seal book will be revealed at the sounding of the seven church angels' message. Amen.
Amen.
The seven angels begin to sound, and there is the message wrote out there, and we got it in tapes and book form.
Amen.
Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
You know, where's the book now?
Amen.
The book, the seventh angel has proclaimed the message that was written in the book.
Amen.
And we have it today in front of tapes and books. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So that's why don't despise what you hold in your hands. There may just be ink and paper, but the life behind is the title deed. Amen. It's the abstract title deed. Amen. It's your ownership. Amen. You are the claims of everything that is written in the book. Amen.
Amen.
The prophet carries on. He says, the first thing that represented that redemption, come the lamb that had been slain from the foundation of the world. And he took the book, glory, opened the book, and tore off the seals.
Amen.
And sent it down to the earth to this seventh angel to reveal it to his people.
Amen.
Amen. So, the book, let's summarize the, how the book traveled. It was in the hands of Adam.
Amen.
Adam sinned. God took back the book. Amen.
Amen.
The second Adam, Jesus Christ, came to demonstrate that all the claims contained in the book, he could manifest it.
Amen.
And he could bring us back to what we were. Amen.
Amen.
The book was now in the hands of the Almighty God. The second Adam, after paying the price, he took the book. Amen.
Amen.
And after taking the book, he comes down and the prophet says, he gives the book to the seventh angel. Amen. We have the book today. Amen. The creation is being brought back to its origins. Amen. Amen. You have the book. Amen. You have full power and authority. Amen. But brother Eli, we are still dying. Amen. Yes. We are still suffering. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, there's a pattern. The prophet says, sorry. The prophet says, when the angel came down, he gave the book to the seventh angel. And the seventh angel, we know this is the messenger of our day.
Amen.
He took the book. And why do you think all these things that happened in Brother Branham's life happened for? Amen.
Amen.
One day, he was in a hunt trip with some friends. And the forecast said there's going to be a very harsh blizzard. And things will be very bad. And they warned people not to be in a certain area at a certain time, because it's going to be 2 days of full overcast. He was with a few friends. They were hunting. And when they gave the warning, it was time for people to run back to safety. He was running along with his friends, the brothers. A voice said to him,
"Amen.
Turn back.
Amen.
We are going to read it. Amen.
Amen.
And so up on the mountain, when that blizzard started, I started going down. And I was just about half a mile from where I started. And the voice of God said, turn and go back.
Amen.
And I went back, and he told me, after waiting for a while and eating that sandwich that David gave me, and I went back and sat down. And that, while I was sitting there, and that wind twisting and blowing and treetops leaning way over,
and the feet and smoke flying, a voice said, I am the God of creation. Amen. We are talking about a new creation. He brings him back like Adam alone in the midst of trees. I am the God of the creation. Amen. I looked up and I thought, when was that? That was the wind, maybe. He said, I created the heaven and earth. I still the mighty winds up on the seas and went on talking. I jumped off and took off my hat. And he said, just speak to the storm and it will cease. Amen. Whatever you say, that's what will happen. Amen. And I said, storm, you cease. And sun, you shine normally for 4 days.
Amen.
Till we are out of here. Amen.
Amen.
And in no more that, and I no more said that than said it. Until the sleet, snow, and everything stopped.
Amen.
And in a moment or two, the hot sun was shining
Amen.
On my back.
Amen.
I seen the wind blowing like this. Come back from the north coming down.
Amen.
I mean from east. I was coming from the west and so on. Why do you think this was done for? Was it just to entertain us? The prophet shows us the power that was in the first Adam.
Amen.
He could master nature. The second Adam came and prove that it could be done again.
Amen.
And the prophet says, when Adam is restored, brought back to God, he will do the same thing again.
Amen.
Haven't we seen the same thing?
Amen.
Where's the book, my brother?
Amen.
We have the book. Amen. The creation is being restored back. Amen. What will happen next? Because we are still in this body. We are still suffering. We are still dying. We are going to close. The prophet says, we are waiting for the fullness of adoption.
Amen.
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 Because Paul says we have been given the earnest. We have been given the first fruits. Amen. But we are waiting for the fullness of adoption. This will take place when? At the first resurrection. Amen.
Amen.
That's when our bodies will be changed from these vile creatures that we are in, and we will have a body like his own glorious body. Amen.
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 I was listening to my brother Adam giving that testimony
Amen.
About those brothers being eaten by cancer. Amen.
Amen.
My brother, we are still in this body.
Amen.
We can't promise you that there will not be cancer. Just have faith. Say as brother says, God use me if you want to prove you're a healer. Amen.
Amen.
Don't be afraid of cancer. Amen.
Amen.
Don't be afraid of sickness. Amen.
Amen.
Because we are waiting for the fullness of our adoption. Amen.
Amen.
This body, whether it dies today, whether it's empty today, it's doomed. Amen.
Amen.
There's a new body waiting for you.
Amen.
Amen. We are waiting for the fullness of adoption.
Amen.
This will take place when? At the first resurrection.
Amen.
That's when our bodies will be changed from this vile creature to what we will have a body like his own glorious body.
Amen.
For we shall see him as he is, and we'll be like him when he appears. We'll appear in his likeness. We'll have a body like his. Amen.
Amen.
And these earthly tabernacles which we are on, we are groaning in, we are waiting for that earnest.
Amen.
The salvation for the salvation fully in its fullness.
Amen.
Remember, we are saved. Amen.
Amen.
Our souls are saved. There's no question about that.
Amen.
But the saved soul is living in a unredeemed body.
Amen.
Amen. And when the prophet says speaks about the fullness of the adoption,
it's about this body.
Amen.
When we have a body like his own body, to his likeness. Amen. He says, but in this tabernacle of clay, we have something that tells us that we have raised up so far. That's the earnest. It's a little down payment that holds it. Amen.
Amen.
So, now that we are living, we are the privileged people.
Amen.
We are living in a privileged generation that has been, that has seen the restoration
Amen.
Of the title deed. Amen.
Amen.
Even though we have not seen it yet in its fullness, because to be in it, to see it in its fullness, we have to get to the fullness of our adoption.
Amen.
Which will happen at the first resurrection, when we'll see our Lord. Amen. But for now, we have the earnest. We have the Holy Ghost. So just make sure that you keep the fire of the Holy Ghost in you. Make sure of your salvation. Amen. And when we are talking about making sure of your salvation, make sure that you believe this message with all your hearts. Amen. Because it's only unbelief that may kill the seed in you. But we are being brought back to what we were. The fullness, the fulfillment of the new creation is being brought back, is being brought to its full achievement. Amen. So we are these people. We have seen it. We have seen the process. We have seen all the requirements being met. We have seen all the plan of the redemption being fulfilled in our age. We have just to take it diligently now.
Amen.
It's up to you
Amen.
To be very careful of what you are going to do with the book.
Amen.
What you are going to do with the privilege you have been given.
Amen.
You know, the Holy Ghost is our tutor.
Amen.
And make sure that he lives in you.
Amen.
We are going to finish with this little story. Just to make sure that the King lives in you.
Amen.
Amen. We don't want a visitation.
Amen.
Because when he's there, he wants, he's watching over you.
Amen.
And you are at rest. Amen.
Amen.
There was a king in a village. The king was living outside the village in, you know, the city. But that village was part of his resource. So he sent a message to the inhabitants there that I'm coming from such day to such day for a week to visit you. So anyone who has a need, write it down or do whatever, but meet me. I'll meet everyone individually to speak with them so that you can express your needs, and I will fulfill everything you ask. Every need you have, I come to fulfill them. Amen. So the king came. Everybody was going turn after turn. This one will ask a field, they'll give him a field. That sister will ask an airplane, they'll give her an airplane. That one would ask for a wife, they'll give her a wife. They'll give her a wife. Every need, a car, everything. But there was another fellow, he was a weird man, at the end of the very village. He never bothered to go and meet the king. They're asking him, but you don't want to go to meet the king. He said, No. You go. Everybody went. They were coming back with money, gold, everything. That gentleman was just sitting there. They said to him, this is the last day. Tomorrow will be the last day. The king is going. Are you not going to go? We have not even booked the appointment. He said, you go. I know. The last day people queued up. People went as many times as they wanted. Just before the king left, the man stood up. The king said, you have never seen me. From this village? He said, yes, king. But you did never come to ask for your needs. He said, dear king, your majesty, I have a need. I wanted to express it the last day before you leave. He said, okay, but now I've given out almost everything. He said, no, you just listen to my need. And you said, you'll grant everybody's needs. He said, okay, you speak your need. Since I promised, I'll do my best. He said, Your Majesty, I have one simple need. I want you every single day till I die. Every morning you come to my house. Every evening you come to my house. That's my need. The king said, What? He said, No, that's my need. Every morning you come. Every evening you come. He said, Okay, since I promised and I gave, I will be unfair if I don't do it for you. So from that day on, that man, he was living in a hut. He didn't ask for a big house. He didn't ask for a mansion. But as long as the king was coming to his house every day, morning and night, he could see that this man has not a good house. He bought him a house. This man doesn't have money. As long as the king was coming, that man's needs was provided to every day. Amen. Amen. Pray for the king to be in you. Amen. Don't ask for any gift. Amen. Ask for the presence of the king himself in you. Amen. So if the king is in you, he provides to your every need. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Amen. Amen. Because you know, let's stand. I can face tomorrow. Because you know.
Thank you.
just for the sake of speaking that God allow us to know these things, but God has sent these things for us to be participant of this new creation. Don't let it pass you by, my brother. Don't let it pass you by, my sister. It's time now for you to look, to see where are you in this great plan of redemption. We don't want to be spectators. We don't want to listen to a good story, but we want to be, to benefit from this great plan of redemption. We want really to be beneficiary of this creation of God. That's why, don't play around these things, my brother. One day, this same message, one day, these same sermons you are hearing day after day, if you are not careful enough, will stand to condemn you. But we are not here to condemn you. We are here to throw grace on you. We are here to show that mercy is still there. The Lamb is still there interceding for you, calling you to leave your ways of sin. If you are not saved yet, if you are not in the house yet, there's plenty of room for you. Abandon your bad ways. Abandon the dreadful day of the Lord is coming. Abandon those wicked ways and come to the Lord. Shall we just pray for a moment? Let's pray.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Yes, Lord, we bless because you as we gather, as we gather, may your spirit move among us, Jesus, as we gather, may we glorify your name. As our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we praise His name. We'll be blessed because of His steadfast love. Ceases never come to an end. Well, I knew, well, I know that you said you have so stressed on you to decide. Hallelujah. The steadfast love,
to a brother. Mm-hmm. It's more valuable than that. That's something what is missing in this age.
Amen.
It's something that's missing on the streets. We don't see it anymore in our homes and families, and friends and brothers, neighbors. There is no love. So this brother is claiming his love, and he said there is sort of sacrifice being made. And I want just my brother to remember that.
Amen.
So if you have someone who is carrying the need on your heart, if there is some name, some person, some family, whoever it is, may you now speak his name silently or speak it aloud. but the Lord hears you, and here are the presence of the angels. I think we can feel we are not alone. His presence is here, and we can reach out, and we can ask, Lord, we don't ask for gold, we don't ask for riches and silver, we just ask for our loved ones that they be saved. So bring them in, that we can go home. This is our desire. Lord Jesus, thank you for a beautiful day, feeling home. Thank you for these people opening their home, for the Zimmer family. They open not only their home and their mind, they open their heart and everything what they had. I know Vladimir for many, many years. We have been traveling, we've been companions for so many years, and his smile never changed and disappeared. He was always here for me when I needed him, and his smile and his heart for this world, Lord. We are like these. These beautiful young children. These are our children, Lord. But we know they don't belong to us. They are your children. Your flowers put in into our gardens. And we just try to guard them. We just try to help them. Because they will be our leaders. We preach them the truth. They will lead us into the truth. If we don't preach it, if we water it down, if we don't raise them in Christian manner, they will leave us when we have no power, when our sight will be wrong, when our ears won't hear anymore. They will lead us the way that we teach them this day. So I'm very happy that this brother, he planted today a beautiful seed, and we are in expectation this seed will bring forth fruits for our children, Lord. We bless all the brothers and sisters who are here, families, just tie them together with love. Every husband, may he love his wife. Every wife, may she love her husband. And may they together fight for their children. May they fight because the devil is waiting outside of this building. Our real world, our real fight is outside of this building. So we are just kneeling down again and saying, Lord, we need you. We thank you for a good preacher. We thank you for good
Hallelujah.
We thank you for a prophet. And now we just need a good way back home that you prevail us, that you lead our cars and all these people. Tomorrow is a new day. They're getting into their schools and getting into their jobs. They're getting into their daily occasions. But may they never forget that there is a brother who loves his brother. And he wants to be back. There are brothers who are praying for each other. There is a church. There is a pastor. May God, may you bless the pastor of this church. He is trying to give his best to these people. So whatever we can, Lord, we come with our hands. We come with our sorrows. We come with our pains. We are giving to you our offerings. We love each other. We need each other. We are not able to go home. And I don't want to miss no face from this church back home. I want to see them all in New Jerusalem. So we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the sacrifice. And may you lead us home, back where we belong. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Amen. As we dismiss, just don't forget to bring your slips, your pledge slips back. And we meet next week. God bless you.